Thank you, Rebecca. Oh, man. Yeah. This is Rebecca's last day leading worship. She'll still be with us. She'll be still working with the students, and you'll still see her here. And so I'm grateful for that. So also, don't forget that praise team will still go on. We'll still have practice this Wednesday. If that's something that you've wanted to get into, maybe, okay, you know, I'd love to be a part of that. Come talk to me. Let me know. And I know some of you last week have even shared that, hey, I'd be glad to help out. And that's awesome. So we want to continue that as we continue to look for our next worship leader in the future. Becca, just like you were saying, you know, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for the church as well. God's a good God where he just pieces everything together like a puzzle. So I'm looking forward to these next few months. Could be a little different. We'll be doing some different things, but God is good, and so it's going to be awesome. Yeah, that's right, all the time. So along with that, I do want to, let me get my notes out so I can tell you what I'm going to tell you. For the next month, Darren already mentioned the next sermon series is called Thankful for All the Wrong Reasons. You know, there's plenty in the Bible where we can find attitudes that were ungrateful and some things. So we're going to learn kind of from some negative things over the next couple of weeks as we get closer and closer to Thanksgiving. But along with that, I need your help. What I'm looking for is maybe 3 to 6 people that would be willing to share a testimony, something about Thanksgiving. Maybe there's even a time in your life when maybe you feel like sharing how you were ungrateful and maybe how the Lord taught you and showed you something. So if that is something that Lord puts on your heart, and you take that, you go home and you pray about that, please come talk to me, give me a call in the office, or just see me at church and say, hey, I think, you know, I want to share something, and we'll talk. But I want to involve that aspect, especially as we kind of go and transition here from Rebecca to our next person. There'll be this time, and testimony is a huge part of worship too. Worship is more than just singing, right? I hope you know that. So I want to involve you, the congregation, a little bit more over the next couple of weeks, especially when it comes to Thanksgiving. So just be aware of that. I think we've already talked about the Fall Festival a lot, so I'll bypass that. But it is Halloween, right? And so I got to keep you guys abreast of all this information about Halloween. Did you know that the United States spends $10 billion, it would be an estimated $10 billion this year on Halloween candy. That's up from $6.9 billion last year. So I guess after COVID, we're like, woohoo, we're gonna just go all out, right? So, wow. It's an equivalent of 600 million pounds of candy. That is enough, the equivalent weight of 10 Titanic ships. Wow. Let that sink in there. The average American, I don't know who these average Americans are. That's crazy. The average American, mostly children probably, or teenagers, or some adults, will consume 3.4 pounds of candy on Halloween. What? That's crazy. That is crazy. So, all right, now, I've got the 5 most popular candies that are given on Halloween. So, but I want you to raise your hand if you think you know what one of the top 5 most popular Halloweens. All right, Tawana, I saw your hand. M&M's. M&M's, you are correct. So you get to choose something out of here. There you go. Let's see, I'll go over here. David? Skittles, you are correct also. Good job. All right, so here we go. All right, it's getting you sugared up. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to step on your foot there. All right, let's see here. All right. Let's see.
Hershey's chocolate?
You said Hershey's chocolate. All right, I didn't call on you, but you can go ahead. There, that's number 3. Got 2 more down. All right, let me see. I'll pick somebody over here. All right. Yeah. Kit Kat is not one. Snickers is. So good job. There's one more that y'all are missing here. Elena. Reese's. That was not on the list, but I can't imagine. That's like one of the most popular ones. Katie up here. Would you say nerds? That is not one of the on the list. Miss Maddie? Candy corn. That is it. All right, there you go. You can. There's anything you want in there. There you go. All right. Yeah, that's the whole debate in it. Ooh, candy corn. How many? Yeah. Raise your hand. How many of you love candy corn? All right. So how many of you hate it? Raise your hand. So yeah, it's like 50-50. I think it's a generational thing. So I don't know. So. All right, don't y'all be coming to the altar to pray in a minute and be like, snacking on the candy down there. I see, man, they're really praying hard. Okay, no, they're eating the candy. Wow. All right, yeah, candy corn, second to chocolate. If you put all chocolate in like one category, candy corn is the second most popular Halloween candy. Followed by Skittles as third. So, but here's some candy corn facts, because you just got to know. Apparently, 43% of people poll, I don't know why the people poll this, eat their candy corn one section at a time. You know, they start with the pointy eye, whatever. 47% of them just shove it all in their mouth. So, wow. So, I like candy corn. I'm weird. It's good stuff. So, all right, and then the approximately 35 million pounds of candy corn is sold every year. Wow. And we'll wrap up the crazy Halloween facts with these. In these different states, in Illinois, if you are 13 years old or older, it's actually illegal for you to go trick-or-treating. Good thing we're in Georgia, because you can go everywhere you want. There you go. So, I don't know, people are reporting their neighbors, all that, I don't know, whatever. In Alabama, all right, good thing we're not in Alabama. In Alabama, it is illegal for you to dress up like a priest on Halloween night. You can't be impersonating a priest, so just don't do that in Alabama. And then finally, in California, crazy California, you can get a $1,000 fine if you silly string somebody on Halloween night. So keep the silly stringing at home. So crazy. Well, there's your crazy Halloween facts. So, all right. I've got 13 minutes. Fine. All right. We did start a few minutes late, so if you give me that. Let's, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. This morning we're going to finish up our series on Matthew 24 and 25, looking at the end times and the signs here. We've looked at some of the prophecies there in Daniel. We've looked at a number of the different parables here. Today we're looking at the last one in Matthew 25. It starts there in verse 31. This is our final week. Each of these parables is kind of like pinpointed different people. Sometimes it's been the religious leaders that Jesus was talking about. Sometimes it was the disciples. Sometimes it was the unsaved people. Well, today's parable is for everybody. So everybody listen up, eat some candy corn, get yourself hyped up, get sugared up if you need to, whatever. The parable we're going to look at today is the parable of the sheep and goats. Let's get into it here, starting in verse 31 here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least one of my brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or in need of clothing or sick and in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Sorry, I'm getting a little feedback there. I don't know if it's anyway, but there. This parable is for everybody here, and we're going to look at some things here. There's a little bit of theology in this morning's sermon, so I know sometimes you're like, well, you know, but theology is important because right theology determines our right actions. If we don't have the right theology, we're not going to act right. So bear with me a little bit. We might get a little nerdy with some theology this morning, but it's good, I promise you. So first thing I want you to see on your outline there is that the Son of Man will be judged for all people. The Son of Man will be judged for all people. Just showing you something here, the Son of Man, all right, that's Jesus, he's talking about himself. That was his favorite title that he used for himself there. He was Son of God, Son of David, Son of Man. But here, Jesus plainly says that he will judge all people. A couple weeks ago in our Biblical Foundations class, we talked about, we're going through some basics of the faith. And if you're not involved in a Sunday school class, I want to invite you to that class or another class. There's a place for you. We have all these great classes. But a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how Jesus is God, just like the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And we use this acronym called HANDS. And you can go ahead and put it up, Ashlyn, there. There's this acronym called HANDS, okay? These are five different ways, if you want to write this down, it's not in your bulletin, or take a picture of it. These are five different ways that Jesus emulates and is God just as the Father is God. He shares the same honors as the Father does. He has the same attributes, and there are scriptures that we can go to all these different things here. He even shares the same names as the Father does. Old Testament, New Testament there. He does the same deeds that the Father does. He forgave sin. You remember there in Mark chapter 2 when the Pharisees were having a little conniption fit. Only God can forgive sins. That's right. And that's what Jesus was kind of trying to tell you. And then lastly there, the seat. Jesus shares the same throne that the Father does. And you see this all throughout the scriptures. And there, if you want a copy of that, I'll give you a paper copy of that later with some of the scriptures. But it's helpful. So if you can remember hands, you can remember those 5 points. But here in Matthew 25, there's a number of these that we see right here where Jesus, he shares the same honor as the Father. He's sharing the same deeds as judge. You know, the Old Testament is pretty emphatic that God alone will judge people. And here is Jesus saying, hey, I'm judged. Look, I love Psalm 50 verse 6 says, the heavens declare the righteousness, for God himself is judge. That's Psalm 50 verse 6. Psalm 110 verse 6 says that the Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge nations, heaping upon the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. That is also the passage there. Psalm 110 is about Melchizedek. It's the interesting passage there. So again, some of these things that are spoken of God, that he will do this, we see Jesus doing this in the New Testament. So that's important. So think of your hands, and you can remember those 5 points. That'll help you if you run into somebody that says, wait a minute, Jesus never said he was God, or Jesus is not God. You can use those points to kind of go back and forth with them there. All right, well, let's get into the text a little bit more here. So again, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, see, there he's sharing the glory with the Father, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. So here is this, just imagine what it's going to be like. And here is Jesus, the one who's going to judge. Verse 32 says that all the nations will be gathered before him. All the nations, you know, and that he will separate them on his left and on his right, just as sheep are separated from goats. This is pretty interesting here, okay? Jesus is going to do this, and there's no one's going to be left out. You know, we have all these different nations, and we have all these different rules and things in our world today, but one day, God himself, Jesus, is going to separate us all. You know, in some nations it's illegal to do something, and some it's not. And, you know, even in our United States, we have different rules within our states, right? We just talked about don't go dressing up like a priest in Alabama, or don't go trick-or-treating if you're 13 plus in Illinois. But one day there's a standard for all of us that God will judge us. And it'll be one judge, and that's what Jesus is going to do here. That's what he is called to do. There's no third option here. When he says he separates them on his left and right, there's only two choices. There's not maybe if I'm straddling the fence a little bit, maybe I can kind of fit in over here, and then I can fit in over here. There's only two options when it comes to how God is going to judge us. Judgment is pronounced, and it's in this passage here, it's specifically looking at the evidence on the works that has been done. Now, we know that the Bible speaks that we are saved by faith through the grace of God, right? And but this specifically right here is just talking about it's the evidence, and we'll come back to that in just a minute, but I want to point that out to you. Wait a minute, this is Jesus saying we only get to heaven by our works? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. But the evidence that we are Christians, the evidence that we are saved, comes from our works, and we'll see that here as we dig into it just a little bit more here. So your second point there on your outline is that the king will invite the righteous to come. You see that there in verses 34 through 40 there. It says that the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Notice here that the Son of Man is now called the king, right? He's sitting on his throne. He's ruling. So Jesus says, take your inheritance. He said, it's prepared for you since the beginning of the world. Think about that. God knows in his infinite wisdom who will be saved, who will choose him. And it is prepared for you and I, for those of us who choose him, since the foundations of the world. That's just an amazing thought. From the creation of the world there in verse 34. Now there's a surprise. Jesus is telling these people, come, enjoy your inheritance. And there's a surprise question. They're like, wait, when did we see you in prison? And when did we feed you? And, you know, and then Jesus responds with this. He says, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me. This is the key thing here. When we love and we help on other people, that is what we're doing unto Jesus Christ. You know, I've seen many churches, their mission statements are kind of twofold. Love God, love people, right? You know, that's very popular, and I 100% agree with that. But when we love on people, we're doing that because of our love for the Lord. And those things are connected. And if you say, I want to increase my love for God more, the best way that you and I can do that is to love on God's creation. The best way we can do is to care for and to love and provide and to do all the things that Jesus kind of mentioned. You know, he didn't mean for us to, you know, literally do every single one of these, but it's the example of looking after the poor, looking after those in need, those in prison, those that have needs. That's what Jesus said. This is what it's all about. That should be our main focus. You know, if you and I will seek after helping people and do what we can, again, we only have so much. You know, our bank accounts are so full. But if with whatever, just like we go back to the parable of the talents, right? With whatever abilities or whatever talent God has given you and I, if we'll use it, that's what's most important. And it's the same thing for our church as a whole. You know, we have a responsibility individually, but as a church, West Side, how are we going to impact our community? You know, and I was thinking about as I prepared the sermon, we've done some great things this past year. We've given out over 20,000 pounds of food to our community. We've done a lot of great things, and we will continue to do those things. But that should be our mode of operation. That should be our focus is, hey, yes, we love God and we love his people, but we want to show people this is what we're actually doing. This is something I think that we need to make sure that we keep before us all the time. You know, Jesus names all these different things. He talks about food and water. Well, that's, you know, feeding people. That's food there. He says there, I was a stranger and you took me in. That's showing hospitality to people, right? That's, you know, hospitality was a real big thing in first century time because they didn't have the Motel 6 that somebody could just go into. So that was more important. But you and I, at the same time, we can show hospitality to people too. You know, it doesn't mean we have to invite them in to sleep in our house with us, but maybe there's something we can do to be hospitable to people there. Jesus talked about, you clothe me. You know, I think about that. That's the basic needs, right? These are things that people should have. And again, I've realized I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because you, church, you West Side, these are things that we really do well. And you know, and I pray that God will give us more opportunities to continue and to do these things and just to, you know, to keep going and going and going. And then he talks about, I was sick and you looked after me there. This is about, again, taking care of people's needs, but it's also about showing compassion to people in their lowest points when they're feeling the worst. It's caring for people. And then he talks about, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. You know, it's looking after those who are sometimes forgotten in our society. You know, well, we've wrote them off because they've been in prison. And so there's plenty of opportunities that you and I can have individually, but we can also have corporately as a church that we can show our love for God through how we love people. And then finally here on the outline, the king will tell those on his left, those who are cursed, to depart from him. One thing I noticed, and it just hit me like square between the eyes this week, the first time, heaven, just a minute ago, heaven was prepared, right, for those who were righteous, who were loved. But look what it says here in verse 41. It says, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. What does that say to me? I think this is another theological point right here. God does not want anybody to go to hell. Amen. You know, this plain and simple here. No one is predestined to go to hell. If it were so, then God would have prepared that for those people too. But you see here, from the beginning, God only prepared hell for the rebellious devil and his angels that followed him. And again, it's a choice. It's something that we get to choose, whether we're going to love God, whether we're going to serve God. But what I see in the scripture, and I see throughout the whole of scripture, is that God does not predestine anybody to hell. That God loves, you know, this is what 2 Peter chapter 3 says, that God is willing and doesn't want anyone to fall. And he wants all to repent. So again, same kind of scenario things go on there. Jesus says, but you did not feed me. You did not give me something to drink. You did not visit me in prison. And then the same kind of surprise question comes up by this second group, the goats here on his left. He says, wait, when did we see you? When did we not, you know? And then Jesus replies again, you did not do it for the least one of these. And again, this is all pointing about actions here. We know that to be saved, it's only by grace, and it's our faith that we place in him. But it's the evidence that we show when we live out our faith like we're supposed to, that Jesus is kind of making a point to bring up here. You know, church attendance has been declining for a number of years. I was talking to another student pastor last week, and he was talking about the decline in their church really started back about 10 years ago. And we've seen it here at Westside. But here's the thing. When I look at the decline in some traditional or some denominations in church, those that are leaving the church are not the people sitting in the pews that are living their faith out. The people that have kind of filtered off and kind of snuck out of the church, whether it was COVID or something else, for a reason, it has not been the people who have been active in their faith. Those people who have remained serving the Lord, they've stuck with it. They, for the most part, have been the majority of the ones that have stayed connected with church. And what does that say? That for me and you this morning, how important is it for us to not just have a head knowledge about who Jesus is and, oh, I know Jesus died on the cross, but then we never do anything with it? If you parents, if you want to train your kids to follow the Lord, don't just give them a head knowledge. Get them active. Help them to, you know, kind of flesh out their faith, if you will. Help, you know, maybe involve them in ministry and do things with them. Take them, let them see you as a parent in action. And that will mean, you know, and I say the same thing for student ministry or anything. You know, church is not just a place to come sit and learn about Jesus and the Bible. Church is a place for us to be active and to serve and to love people in our community and to share the gospel in a lot of different ways. And if you and I want to stay with it, and we want to have no doubt where we stand that one day when Jesus comes and he separates left from right, let's remember to be active in our faith, and there won't be a problem. You know, so it's up to us. You know, what kind of person will you be? Will you be someone who is a active person in your faith, or will you be content with, well, I know I'm going to heaven when I die? I can't make that choice for you, just like I can't. My wife and I have learned that it's harder to parent adult kids than it is when they were much younger because they're adults, they're legal adults, and they have to make those decisions for themselves, right? Well, same thing goes as a pastor of a church. I can't make you as a congregation do something. You know, you have to allow the Lord to speak in your heart, and you have to allow him to motivate you. And it comes to this time where you have to make a decision. Okay, what kind of a Christian am I going to be? Am I going to be somebody who's active in my faith that serves, or am I going to be just somebody who's content to know that I'm going to heaven when I die? And, you know, Fall Festival is tonight. What an opportunity. You can say, oh, you're just using that to try to get us here to serve. Yes, I am. But I also know that it's good for you, okay? I know it's good for you. You know, just like I take my children to the dentist because I know it's good for them, because they're going to eat 3.5 pounds of candy tonight, so they're going to have to go to the dentist, you know. But if you will serve and enjoy doing something for other people, you know, I believe that the Lord will allow you to get some joy out of that. And you'll say, you know what? I want to be a part of that. I want to do more of that, you know? Maybe the Lord wets some of your whistles tonight as you serve and you have a good time connecting with people. And you know what? The next outreach event we do at Westside, I want to be a part of that too. And so for some of you, this might be a big thing. You're like, what? You want me to help out and volunteer and I can't go? Yeah. So pray about that tonight. It's an opportunity for you tonight, maybe if you've never served before, for you to serve. I know it's fun to go around and to collect candy and do something like that, or to do your own thing, but you will see the joy that comes from serving with the Lord too. So as we kind of wrap up here, again, just reminding you that we are saved by grace through faith, okay? This is so important here. But this parable is really, it's looking at the actions, right? The actions that are going to be the test for you and I to say, are we truly followers? I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you think just because you've been coming to church and sitting in a pew and hearing great music and mediocre preaching, maybe you think, okay, well, I'm a Christian. But I just want to encourage you this morning, being a Christian is more than coming to a church building and sitting in a pew and kind of watching things go on. It's kind of like sitting in the, you know, I watched football yesterday, watched the Braves game, you know. There are people all over in the stands watching the game going on, right? But then there are a minority, there's a smaller number of players on the football field or in the baseball field that are actually participating. And I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you think that being a Christian is just being in the church building, but I want to tell you that there's more to it than that. Being a Christian means getting out of the stands, if you will, and getting on the field and becoming active in the game. Now, you might not know, well, I don't know, I'm not ready to be the quarterback. That's okay. Maybe you're the safety. Maybe you're an outfielder. Maybe you're not the pitcher yet. God has a specific place for you. He has designed you and created you with gifts and talents and personalities, and you've gone through experiences, and God wants to use you on His team, if you will. But you have to be the one to say, you know what, sign me up. I'm ready. I want to get in the game, so to speak, of my Christian faith. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ to come in your life to be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you'll close your eyes, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning and you can hear my voice, and maybe you thought that being a Christian was just being in a church, or maybe that because your parents were Christians and they went to church, that made you a Christian. But the scripture says that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. For if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart, then we will be saved. If you're here this morning and you want to trust Christ as your Lord and your Savior, say a prayer like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died for me on the cross. This morning, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Help me be my Lord, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for saving me. Help me live for you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in a minute, we're going to have an invitation time. If you prayed that prayer and you meant that and you asked the Lord to come in your life, I would love just to meet you and shake your hand or fist bump you and help you in your next step, how you can follow Christ. For others of you, maybe you've already prayed that prayer. Maybe you've already given your life to Christ. But maybe you thought it was just about saying a prayer and that there was nothing else that you had to do. But I hope you see from this morning that following Christ means that we have to live a life of action, of loving God's people and loving our community. And that's what we're all about here at Westside. If you're here, you're visiting with us, and you feel like Westside is your home church where you want to plant your life, I want to encourage you to make that official and join our church. Be a member here where we can work together to reach our community through the Fall Festival and other events. Whatever God is leading on your heart to do that, okay? Let me pray real quick for you, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Dear God, this is your time this morning. Lord, I pray for those that are here that you will do whatever you will impress on their hearts for them to do whatever they need to do, whether that's to come forward to receive Christ or to be a member here, or maybe they just want to come and pray for themselves or their family to live a life that is obedient to you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our life here at Westside, and we love you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. you. Lord, we're thankful that you gave it to us on the cross, that there's nothing that we can do that will separate us from your love, that you gave your life, you paid for our sin. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work through our lives this morning as we think about and just kind of ponder the scripture we've looked at this morning. Help us to be people of action. Help us to follow your words and to care for those people that we come in contact with, and to do what we can, everything in our power, to help other people and to point them to Christ. Lord, now as we come and then we come to a time where we give our offering or our tithe to you, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church. What an amazing testimony that we have here at Westside in the area of finances. But Lord, help us to always lean and trust on you and not a dollar bill. Lord, we are so thankful that you are our source. Lord, I pray today as we give our gifts and our tithes, our offerings, that you'll bless it, you'll bless those who give it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can have a seat as the offering plate's being passed. Just a reminder here, if you want to grab some lunch, several of us will be here right after lunch, probably around 1:30 or so. We'll start that setup process. And if you can only be here to run a booth or something tonight, I think about 4:30 would be a good time for you to make sure that you're here. That way you get some final instructions about how to run the booth. Matt, is there anything else with Fall Festival you need to share with church?
Don't come dressed up like only a pumpkin. Yeah. Don't come dressed up like a priest if you're going to travel to Alabama.
To Alabama.
if you haven't signed up, still okay. Come, right? It's okay.
Yeah.
If you want to serve somewhere, that's great.
Yeah.
And also, even if you haven't signed up to serve, just come and be a part of it. Get to know those that are coming. That'd be fun.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much. Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Phoebe. We have about 5,000 pieces, but if you need to bring a bag with you tonight, I know several of you brought some this morning, that'd be great. We probably could use another 1,500 pieces, but as of the 5,000 count. So thank you so much for what you have done and what you have brought. It's going to be a great night, and looking forward to it. All right, well, we'll see you this afternoon or this evening, and have a great day. God bless.